Good morning on Sunday the 3rd of April 2022. Our readings for today are from Philippians chapter 3 verse 4 to verse 14 and the Gospel according to St. John chapter 12 verses 1 to 8. And I want to ask you a question. And to be honest, the question is based on these two passages and what these passages talk about. But who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And I imagine people will come up with different answers to that particular question. Some will think straight away, strange question, you know, what a way to start a sermon. Well, what do you mean, who is Jesus to me? You know, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Jesus is God's Son who came into the world to live amongst us and to die on a cross. Jesus is God. And all of these things that I've said are correct. But in another sense, what I want you to consider is, who is Jesus to you right now? Now, I know I've added the two words right now onto that question. And what I want you to think about and what I want you to answer and consider is not who is Jesus as far as the title is concerned, but who is Jesus to you on an everyday basis, on how you live your life. And obviously this is a Sunday and we think of Jesus and we go to church and we worship in a church and we praise him. We praise God. And we hear about him. And this is his day. And for many people, this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice in it. And they reduce that to a Sunday because Sunday is the day where we worship God. But again, that's getting back into title and into titles. But who is Jesus to you right now, this moment, and every moment? Is he just a figurehead? Is he just a title? Is he just someone who lived 2,000 years ago? And yes, at the same time, who lives today because he's in heaven on the right-hand side of the Father. Because he's God and he's always lived. And again, that's getting into titles. That's getting into theology. That's getting, perhaps some might think that's doctrine. But there are all these big words and these big terms. But in a very real way, who is Jesus to me? Now I want to start reading John chapter 12 to try and help us with this question that I've asked. So beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now straight away we have, that's ending in verse 3, straight away we have two people. And I know there's more mentioned, but I'm thinking in particular Lazarus and Mary. And yes, we have Martha as well. But Lazarus and Mary, Lazarus, who was Jesus to him? He raised him from the dead. He was dead and Jesus brought him back to life again. So Jesus was a very special person to Lazarus. Then Mary, she did this wonderful thing of anointing the feet of Jesus with very, very costly oil, the oil of spikenard, and wiped his feet with her hair. You know, so in order to do that, she would have been down on her hands and her knees in front of Jesus in order to be able to wipe his feet with her hair. And so her face would have been very close to her feet, and she may even have kissed his feet. It doesn't tell us that. But perhaps she did. And she did that in a way to worship Jesus. She very definitely humbled herself before Jesus. She honored him with what she used, the costly oil of spikenard. She honored him by anointing his feet. She didn't hold anything back. But let me read on now in verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." And so we hear about Judas Iscariot and what he did and what he was part of. But Judas asked this question. But the question that he asked was because he was a thief and a robber. He was thinking about the money that was going out of his hands. And yet notice that Jesus did not rebuke him. He said, "Yes, let her alone." He didn't accuse him of being a thief, even though Jesus would have known that Judas was a thief. And instead, he honoured Mary and what Mary had done. Now, when I ask this question, who is Jesus to you? It's really Judas Iscariot is who I want us to think about. There are other people in this story, as I've said, Lazarus and Mary, and of course Martha. But Judas Iscariot doesn't consider Jesus. Judas Iscariot is depending upon himself and what he can get. He's not trusting in the Lord. He's not trusting in Jesus, because he was forever dipping into the money box and taking from it what he wanted and perhaps what he needed. But he was relying upon himself and not relying upon Jesus. Now, the other reading for today was from Philippians chapter 3. And this is where Paul the Apostle is talking about who he is and who he is as a person. And it starts in verse 4 of chapter 3, and it says, Paul says this, "If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day." And so he goes on and he tells all the things that would give him power and prestige if they were of any value. Because when he says confidence in the flesh, he's not talking about your skin, but he's talking about who you are of yourself, who you are without Jesus. And remember, I asked the question, and I asked it a number of times, who is Jesus to you? Because if Jesus is just a figurehead, if Jesus is just a title, because he's God, but, you know, he's up there. If Jesus is just that to you, then you are someone who lives your life for yourself, dependent upon yourself. You may pay lip service to Jesus in the sense that you're here in church today, Or you may pay lip service to Jesus because you go to another church, or you belong to another fellowship. But in reality, you only visit with Jesus. You don't actually live with him, or are even confident or assured that he lives with you, because you're dependent on yourself. And you see, Paul said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And he lists the things that he did. And then in verse 7 he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. And so, in the first reading that I referred to this morning, John chapter 12, we had Lazarus, we had Mary and Martha, we had Judas. But the first ones, Lazarus and Mary, very much looked to Jesus, were dependent on Jesus. Lazarus, because he was raised from the dead. Mary, because she was so grateful for Jesus raising her brother from the dead. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus. But they honoured him because of, not only because of what he had done, but because of who he was. Their focus was on Jesus. Judas, on the other hand, his focus was on the money and what he could gain. Paul, in this reading in Philippians, is saying, if I were to have confidence in the flesh, I am more qualified than any of you. But in reality, I don't count those things. But rather, I seek Christ. And I seek him crucified, and I preach him crucified, because those are the things that Paul talks about in other places. So let me go back and see what it says here. Verse 7 in Philippians chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. And there you go. That's the key. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Not being righteous through the things that he did. But he goes on and says, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And he's just pointing to what Jesus has done. He is pointing to Jesus. And so as you read these readings and you listen to what I've read, and I encourage you, go and read Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 14, and John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. But ask yourself, who is Jesus to you? Do you agree with Paul? Do you agree with Lazarus and with Mary? And Martha too, because she was there, even though she was helping. She was still a sister to Lazarus and to Mary, a friend of Jesus. Or are you more like Judas, where you're actually doing a pretty good job on your own? My prayer is that you would not be like Judas, and you would not fall into the trap of being able to quote all the things that you've done and you are able to do. Because Paul was able to do far more than you could ever do. And yet he counted that as nothing in order to know Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you to know Jesus today, this very moment, this very hour. And as you leave this church or whatever church that you're in or fellowship that you're in when you're listening to me, that you'd be conscious and mindful and make the decision that Jesus goes with you and you with him. Because without him you can do nothing. And your life is not worth anything without him. Knowing Jesus is what it's all about. So let me finish where I started. Who is Jesus to you? Right now, this very moment. Who is Jesus to you later on today? Who is Jesus to you tomorrow and the next day and the day after? Is Jesus part of your life every day? Or just today because it's Sunday? My prayer is that he isn't just today because it's Sunday, but that Jesus is everything to you every day. For it is in his name that I say these things, and it is in his name that I pray that is true for you, Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.